Let's, if you manage to keep a bookmark in Psalm 37, do that, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, as we consider this third beatitude this morning. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. And if you think about the Beatitudes, verse 6 is really the hinge on which they turn. The first six are really show us all that we lack and what we receive in Christ. And then the remaining Beatitudes really turn outward to our dealings with others and how we deal with others and how we react when we are mistreated. So let's give our careful hearing to God's word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Amen. Again, we trust that our triune God will bless the reading, preaching, and hearing of his word to us this morning. I think we have all met people who really delight in the shock value of things. They seem to always say shocking things just for the sake of shocking. Well, Jesus said a lot of shocking things, but it wasn't just for the sake of shocking us, but because these things are the truth. And every statement that he made in these opening Beatitudes as he began to preach this sermon, these all would have been extremely shocking and striking statements. He said that to a bunch of religious people who thought that they were righteous before God, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In other words, it's only those who recognize their spiritual bankruptcy before God, it's only these that enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he continues and says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Not blessed are those who are happy all the time, but blessed are those who are deeply grieved over their sin, and it is these who will know the blessing and the comfort and the joy of God because they are forgiven people. But he continues, and he makes another shocking statement. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I probably don't even have to make the connection for you, but think about this for a second. Think about this in light of where we are in our country. Jesus was speaking to a group of fiercely nationalistic, patriotic people. And they expected the Messiah to come in fighting. They expected the Messiah to come and defeat and destroy the Roman usurpers. And here is the Messiah. And he comes and he doesn't say, "Blessed are those who fight." He doesn't say, "Blessed are those who are aggressive." But he says, "Blessed are the meek." It would have been a shocking statement, and I think it is just as shocking today. Because I think the condition in Jesus' day is very similar to the condition we find ourselves in our country today. There is a lack of meekness in our culture. People are ready to fight. They are aggressive. They are angry. And friends, there is a lack of meekness in the church today. How often Christians are aggressive and they're ready to fight and they're ready to assert their rights. But here Jesus says, blessing belongs to those who are meek. Jesus says, this is an essential characteristic of one of my followers. Meekness. You see, poverty of spirit, mourning over sin, have a pervasive influence in our hearts, and they make us meek people. Well, let's begin this morning with a definition of meekness. I think meekness is notoriously hard to define. The Greek word means gentle or humble or considerate, but I don't know that that really helps us much. And so we need to first understand that meekness is not weakness. That's a common misunderstanding today. In fact, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, one of the definitions for the word meek is deficient in spirit or courage, not strong. That's wrong. That's not what Jesus has in mind. In Numbers 12:3, Moses was called the meekest man on earth. And yet he was a strong and courageous leader. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus used this very word to describe himself. And no one in their right mind would suggest that the Son of God was weak. And so it's not weakness. But there's another important aspect of this, and that is it is not a guiding principle for civil life. Jesus is not calling governments to be meek. Nor is he telling us that we can never defend ourselves. He is not intending meekness to be a guiding principle for governments, for courtrooms, for military strategy, or for home defense. A judge should not let a murderer off with a slap on the wrist because blessed are the meek. And I think this is important to establish because I think what we find today is we find governments and judges trying to be meek when they are not called to be meek. The Bible tells us that God gives the government a sword. That the government is to be a terror to those who do evil. And so it's not a guiding principle for civil life. What Jesus is dealing with here is he is dealing with our faith in God and our disposition toward our fellow human beings. This verse is an echo of Psalm 37. In fact, it's almost a direct quotation of Psalm 37:11, where we read, "The meek shall inherit the land." And so if we want to find the most full orb definition of meekness, we go to Psalm 37. And so if you had your finger in there, go ahead and open back up to Psalm 37. And as we read that psalm, we find two main components of meekness. And first, meekness is simply a firm trust in our God. Listen to some of the statements in Psalm 37. We read, "Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Be still before Him. Wait patiently for Him." And if you look at the end of verse 3, there's this interesting statement, befriend faithfulness. And your Bibles probably have a footnote in there because it's an interesting combination of words. It could be translated, feed on faithfulness, or feed on firmness. In other words, cultivate a firm trust in your God. So this is what it means to be meek. It means trusting God. Trusting that no matter what happens around us, that He is in control and that His ways are the best ways. It means submitting to Him, even when things don't go our way. It means receiving His Word. James says we are to receive with meekness the Word planted in us. Friends, this is essential. It is extremely relevant for us right now. You see, God's people have always struggled with really the same thing. If you think about the context of Psalm 37, God's people are surrounded by evildoers. Wicked people are in power. The wicked are seeming to prosper while the righteous seem to suffer. We seem to be losing and the wicked seem to be winning. And how do we live poised and composed lives in the midst of all of this? The simple answer, but the challenging answer, is we trust in our God. And how do we maintain that trust? How do we not become angry or frustrated when wicked people maintain places of power, when they suppress the church? Look at verses 10 and 11. How do we continue to trust the Lord? Well, we believe what we read here. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. It's a firm trust in our God that He reigns, that He is in control, and this will produce in us a calmness, a poise as we walk by faith and not by what we see going on around us. But there's a second component to this meekness that flows from the first. And that second component is that meekness then is gentleness in our relationships. Being gentle with others. And that naturally flows from a trust in God. If we believe that God is in control and that He saved a sinner like me, then we're going to be calm and gentle even when we are mistreated. We look at Psalm 37 and we learn that being meek means not retaliating, not lashing out in anger, not living in a state of frustration. In verses 1 and 8 of Psalm 37, we are told not to fret because of evildoers. And that Hebrew word fret means to hotly contend, to fly into a passion. And so being meek means we don't fly off the handle. We don't retaliate. We don't lash out in anger. We don't always insist on our rights.
And we can do that because we have a firm trust in our God. That's what meekness is. It's a trust in God. It's a gentleness with other people. And it comes when we stand before God as poor sinners, mourning our sin, abdicating all of our supposed rights before God. And it's before that same God that we learn in gratitude for His grace to trust in Him and to be gentle with sinners. Let me read what a few commentators have to say on biblical meekness. Leon Morris said, "True meekness may be a quality of the strong, those who could assert themselves but choose not to do so. The strong who qualify for this blessing are the strong who decline to domineer. Self-assertion is never a Christian virtue." John Calvin, "By the meek, he means persons of mild and gentle dispositions, who are not easily provoked by injuries, who are not ready to take offense, but are prepared to endure anything rather than to do the like actions to wicked men." And then one more, William Hendrickson. "It describes the person who is not resentful. He bears no grudge. Far from mulling over injuries received, he finds refuge in the Lord and commits his way entirely to Him. All the more does he do this because he has died to all self-righteousness. He knows that he cannot claim any merit before God. Since God's favor means everything to him, he has learned to joyfully take the plundering of his possessions, knowing that he has a better and abiding possession." Now, as we think about what biblical meekness is, we have to ask the question, where is meekness in the Church of Jesus Christ today? Where is my meekness? Where is your meekness? Where is the church's meekness today? Friends, we look at the church today and what we see is a pervasive anger and frustration and harshness among many who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are quick to fight. We are quick to assert ourselves. We are quick to claim that our opinion is the right opinion. Friends, this is an area that we need to examine ourselves. Because the lack of meekness in the church today reveals that we are not trusting in our great God. Our lack of gentleness towards one another shows that we have forgotten how great our God is and we have possibly too high of a view of ourselves. But let's think about some illustrations of meekness. Let's think about it in action in the Bible. Where do we see it? Very often in the Scriptures, when you see the word gentle in the New Testament, it's the same word, meek. And we see it most perfectly in the Lord Jesus Himself. Matthew 21:5, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and Matthew quotes Zechariah 9:9. "See, your king comes to you, meek and riding on a donkey." In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter drew his sword to fight, Jesus said that he could have called down 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels to crush his enemies, but he didn't do that. Because it wasn't his Father's plan. Christ trusted his Father. He submitted to his Father. He suffered and died in humble obedience with a firm trust in his Father. And it shouldn't surprise us that when we see Jesus dealing with sinners, he is gentle. He is firm, but he is gentle. He had a meek disposition. And in this way, being meek is the Spirit conforming us into the image of Christ. What about our relationships? How do we handle it when someone mistreats us? Colossians 3. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. How are we to act in our witnessing to unbelievers? Are we to be forceful and aggressive as so many are today? 1 Peter 3, we are to be prepared to tell people about Christ and yet do it with meekness and respect. What if we have to confront someone who is caught in sin? Galatians 6:1, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of meekness. Friends, we can be firm and we can be strong and yet gentle. How do we live in enemy-occupied territory where the wicked seem to prosper? Psalm 37:1, don't fret or envy evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 3, cultivate faithfulness. Feed on a firm faith. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Verse 7, wait patiently on the Lord. We can do all that because of the Lord's promise where He says evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Friends, how do we see the saints of old enduring hardship and trial and mistreatment and maintaining this calm poise? It is because they had a firm trust in their God. And if we have a firm trust in our God, who we believe that loves us with an everlasting love, that will produce in us this meekness and a calmness. But finally, and related, let's think about the cultivation of meekness. And like the other Beatitudes, this is a work of the Spirit in us. Meekness is one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It's sometimes translated gentleness, but it is the same word. This is something the Spirit has to work in us. We are naturally aggressive and selfish, and we want to defend ourselves. This is something the Holy Spirit works in us at salvation and then continues to cultivate in us. Friends, think about how you came to Christ. You came to him as a poor sinner, recognizing you had nothing to offer him. You mourned over your sin. And therefore, you didn't come to him asserting any rights or claiming you had anything to offer him. You came meek, gentle, trusting in him. And that's something that must continue to be cultivated. And this, it's interesting that this word that Jesus uses for meek, it was used of a wild horse that had been tamed. And I think this is a great illustration. A tamed horse still has all of its strength, but it's now under the control of somebody else. It's now useful. When the horse was wild and out of control, it was of no use to anyone. But when it is tamed, when it's under the control of someone else, it is led, so it is useful, so it is successful. And it's the same for us. Christ and His Spirit make us meek so that we are useful. The Lord doesn't take away any of our strength, any of our gifts. He bridles it so that it's useful, so that we are useful for His glory. So it's a work of the Spirit, first of all, but it's also a grace that needs to be cultivated. And that's really the language of Psalm 37:3. Befriend faithfulness. I think the idea there is cultivate faith. And I think there's two related things that we can do in this regard to cultivate this meekness. And the first is, we need to cultivate a right view of ourselves before God. And the Beatitudes fall in a logical sequence. The person who has been given a new nature by Christ will confess their poverty of spirit. They will mourn over their sin. And that will lead to meekness. A meek person has a right view of themselves before God. When we realize that we're just spiritual beggars, and when we see the depth of our sin and we mourn over it, then being mistreated doesn't seem so bad. When we think about what we really deserve, and when we realize how gently Christ dealt with sinners like us, we contemplate what we actually deserved and realize that Christ dealt so kindly with us, then we're gentle and we're kind with others. It's interesting. One of the lexicons gives this definition of this word meek: not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. You see, we can find our identity in Christ. We can claim that indeed we are a holy, righteous people, but only because of Christ's work in us. And as we cultivate that view of ourselves before God, we need to also cultivate a high view of our God. Letting the Scriptures inform us more and more about who He is and what He promises, and then living in light of those things. Trusting that He really does care for us. That He cares about our small needs as well as our great needs. Trusting that He is going to act with justice and put things right in the end. That's what Psalm 37 is all about. What do you do when the wicked are in charge? What do you do when there's chaos? What do we do when we are mistreated? When we have a high view of our God, we trust Him. And it produces a calmness as we trust in the one who will make things right. Friends, the one who died for us, the one who had the power to take up his life again, he is surely worthy of our trust. We often tell our kids, not in these words, but we often tell our kids, you know, understanding is not a prerequisite for obedience. And as we look at what goes on around us and we look to how great our God is, we can say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why there's chaos in the streets. I don't understand why our government officials can't seem to function, but I trust you. I trust you. Now, what does this meekness result in? What would the world say? The world's going to tell us that surely the meek are going to be taken advantage of, that the meek are going to miss out. I've never seen it, but I heard it related that there's a bumper sticker kind of mocking this beatitude. It says, the meek will inherit the earth if that's all right with everyone else. There's this idea that the meek are going to miss out. But Jesus is promising us something here. The meek will inherit the earth. But the meek are the ones who will end up with everything. But the question is, what does Jesus mean when he says the meek will inherit the earth? Well, I think at a very practical level now and here and now, I think meek people do live more relaxed, more calm, more blessed lives. And they inherit the earth in the sense that they really can enjoy life. One commentator put it this way. He asked the question. He said, think of the most self-assertive, aggressive people you know. Are they happy? Think of the happiest people you know. Are they aggressive? I think it rings true that people who are meek, who live with this calm trust in the Lord, really do enjoy life now. And in that sense, we can inherit the earth now. But ultimately, inheriting the earth means salvation and conquest. We saw this in our study through Revelation. That promised land of Canaan was not the end point. That promised land was a down payment and foretaste of heaven. That land typified eternal life, salvation. That land represented all of the covenant promises of God. And that's what Jesus is saying, that people who trust in me become co-heirs with me. And that means it is not dangerous to be meek. We can be strong, but we can be meek. And Jesus says that these are people who inherit eternal salvation. I think we need to look to Christ and look at his meekness and ask the question, what was the result? Christ's meekness was demonstrated in its fullness and its perfection at the cross, where in humble, submissive trust in his Father and a gentle, kind heart towards sinners like us, he endured the greatest wrong ever perpetrated. And what was the result? Victory. An eternal inheritance for him and for all those who trust in him. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ assures us that meekness is the path to glory and eternal life. So friends, I implore you in the name of Christ, pursue this meekness. Heed the words of Jesus. Listen, we hear this often in our call to worship, but listen carefully to what Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, pursuing this meekness in the power of the Holy Spirit will result in us being able to live a more blessed life, for us to be more relaxed and calm as the weight is taken off of our shoulders, because we know that our great God upholds all things by the word of his power. And the result will be greater health in our relationships, greater success in our evangelism, and as Jesus says, a true rest for our souls. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray. Father, we know that we need your forgiveness. By nature, we are aggressive and self-assertive. We are prone to anger. Too often we look at what is going on around us and we live our lives in a state of anger and frustration. And Lord, we know that that reveals our lack of trust in you, our faithlessness. Forgive us, O God, turn us that we might see the power and the love of our great God and Savior, that we might look to the cross, that we might behold the meekness of Christ and where it led him. Holy Spirit, make us a meek people. May we be strong. May we be firm, and yet make us a gentle people. Strengthen our faith, and may it be for the glory of Christ. Amen.